what I did to get in trouble, and I don't even know what I need to do to get out of trouble. Are y'all ever find yourself in there? Or is it just me? You know, I'm like, what happened? How did I get into this deep a mess? And sometimes I'm trying to figure life out, and I'm like, I don't have a clue. You know, Tammy and I have raised 3 kids, and they're all very productive, good kids, and, you know, they marry well, and everything's good, and I know what I'm doing. I teach, you know, how to raise kids. And then there are times I just look at Jackson, and I go, who are you? My 14-year-old, you know, and I'm like, do we speak a different language? Is what I'm saying, is it English? Because it doesn't seem like you're understanding. And then he'll talk back, and I'm like, I have no clue what you just said to me. You know, and it's just frustrating sometimes. You begin to realize life is hard. And sometimes you feel like you're trying to put something together and they didn't give you all the parts. Have y'all ever had that happen? You know, you order something and it comes and there you're so excited and all of a sudden the one thing you need to make it all work together is just not there. Sometimes I wake up in life and I feel like there's got to be some pieces missing. Because this doesn't make sense. I know I'm missing something. If that's true of you at all, Solomon today has some great hint and help for us in some of these areas. And so this is kind of where we're going. We're in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Solomon is going to talk to us a little bit more about wisdom. And we're just going to work ourselves through it. Here's kind of how I've titled it. How to Thrive During Difficult Days. How are we going to survive some of the difficult days that come into our life? And there are many. And it comes sometimes from work. It comes sometimes from just the injustice that we see in society. It can come at us from a whole bunch of different angles. And Solomon is so good about always trying to draw things down to, he's going to tell us for the fourth time in as many weeks as we've been looking at this, for the fourth time he's going to tell us, hey, breathe. Enjoy the little things in life. So that's where we're going. That's the bottom line. So if you need to scoot out early, you already know the bottom line. But if you want to stay, we're going to have fun. Now, here's the deal. How do we thrive during difficult days? And Solomon begins to ponder this whole thing. And so the very first point that we look at is found in chapter 8, verse 1. Wisdom allows us to breathe. Now think about this. Look at what he says. Who is like the wise, or how wonderful to be wise, to analyze and interpret things? Wisdom lights up a person's face, softening its harshness. Here he is glorifying the whole concept of wisdom. He goes, man, wisdom is a good thing. It is. It's a good thing. And, you know, when we talk about Jackson and all that, you know, I know a little more about what's going on than sometimes he thinks I do. And we've had some great conversation as of late. And I'm a different dad than I was with the other three. They all remind me of that. Dad, you never would have let us get away with that. Dad, do you hear how he just talked to you? You let him do what? You let him go where? Dad, they're mad. They're mad because life's not fair. And I keep trying to say, no, I'm old. I'm tired. But here's what I've realized, too. I do have a little bit of wisdom. When you're raising the first three, you realize rare is the person who gets to do it twice. I mean, really, you have a rookie season when you're raising kids, and that's it, you know? And you rarely do we get do-overs. Well, Tammy and I had the privilege of doing a do-over. And so there is some calming things that take place when I see where Jackson is and what's going on. You know, and I can have a tendency to want to get upset and think, man, are we doing this right? Should I have done exactly what Abby and Jared and Eric said I should have done? Or is this new way of trying to parent going to really bite us in the butt? But there's this lack of a harshness that comes with wisdom and knowing, you know what, he's going to be okay. He's got a good heart. Stupid sometimes, but a good heart. Let's major on the heart, not so much on the stupid, and see if we can't get somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And there's something about wisdom that puts a smile on your face because it's like, I know something you don't know. You know what I mean? Don't you love it when that's going on and you see things that other people can't see because you've had the privilege of going down this road before and you go, yeah, but I know something you don't know. There's a little arrogance that goes with that, but it's always fun, isn't it? When you just go, I got a secret. Now, this is where Solomon is. Listen, he says, wisdom gives you that place where you're not so uptight about life, where you don't get bent out of shape. And he's going to walk us through some things and go, listen, most of what you live in isn't going to make sense. You're not going to understand any of it. Anybody says they do, they're a liar. And so this is kind of where we're going. But the reality of what he's trying to say to us today is goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago. You and I have to spend more time cracking open the Holy Scriptures and spending time just before God and before his face, because there is more depth and more wisdom that can be mined out of this book than you could 1,000 other books laid out before you. I'm just telling you, it's the truth. It's the greatest book on the planet. When I was in Haiti, the privilege of having to be unplugged like I was for so long, and the only thing that you could really look at to read was the scriptures, is, man, it's rich. And so he's saying here, listen, wisdom has a lot of benefit. What's the first thing we need to know in order to breathe? Wisdom lets us do that. How to survive these tough days? He says, how wonderful to be wise, to analyze and interpret things. Wisdom lights a person's face up and softens the harshness. What's he saying there? Man, when you know truth, there's something so settling about that, that when life comes at you, it doesn't rattle you near as much as it did before you had some truth in you. And so the only thing I can say is, as we live life, let's just make sure we're gaining some wisdom from the truth of God's Word. I'd encourage you to quit reading a bunch of other books that are out there, even the ones you find in the Christian bookstores. You know, they're just trying to reinterpret what the Bible already says. It's a whole lot easier just to read it for yourself. It's like somebody telling you what the movie's about so that you don't have to go see it. No, I like to see the movie. And it's the same thing with the truth. Listen, books are great and they're helpful, but nothing replaces just ingesting the truth into your life, because there's something solid about wisdom. There's something solid about being able to say in the middle of a crisis, and you look around and you go, I don't see anybody that can help me in this situation, to be reminded that if God doesn't help, help ain't coming. There's nothing so powerful as understanding that all things work together for good. Because sometimes we look at stuff and it makes no sense, but the wise person knows the truth of the Word. There's not a harshness on him. There's a softness about him because they've walked with God down that road. I'm loving being in my 50s. I thought I would dread it. You know what? I'm just so much smarter than I was at 20. And it just makes me happy sometimes. I was an A personality, uptight kind of a guy you didn't really want to be around. Not that you want to be around me today, but you get the point. I'm a little more relaxed these days. And there's something about wisdom that does that to you. And so Solomon is trying to drive that truth home. Now, the second thing he says is that wisdom is going to teach us how to deal with authority. Now, he's going to bring up a series, and if we're not careful students, we're going to go, where is this coming from? So let me kind of help you make sense of it. He says, obey the king's command, I say, because you took an oath before God. Now, he's jumping into an illustration. He's telling us a story about someone who works for the king. Not just someone who's in the kingdom, but someone who works for the king. And Solomon knows a little bit about that. He grew up in the palace, so he watched men interact with his father, King David. And he watched people come in and go. And then as king, he's seen the same thing. He's had people work for him. And so now he's going to talk to us about this whole concept of authority. So if we're going to find application in this passage, it's not necessarily are we going to think in terms of a king, because we don't have a king. We do have some governmental authorities over us. We do. Some of us have bosses, and so you have that authority over you. Some of you are still living at home, and you have parents, and so you have that authority over you. But for the most part, all of us in this room have some sort of authority over us. Now, if you've lived long in the realm of having someone with authority over you, it can get testy at times, can it? Here's what I've learned almost every place I worked when I was younger. In my head, I knew 3 times what the boss knew. You know what I mean? I always knew the better way. I mean, if he would just listen to me, this whole thing, this business would be great if he would just listen to what I have to. There's this something about us that's prone to want to rebel against authorities. Same thing with kids and same thing in all those areas. And so he says here, he's going to give us a little bit of wisdom. And I just want to give you the context. So whatever your authority is today that you're going up against and you're going, man, I'm really struggling here. This makes no sense. He's saying, hey, let me give you a little bit of wisdom here on what to do in that situation. So really, it's going to go kind of quickly, but we're just going to kind of walk through. And so here he goes. First thing he says is, listen, obey. Obey the king, since you vowed to God that you would. What's he saying? Hey, listen, you're going to have times where you're going to think the boss or the parent or whatever authority in your world is just stupid and they have no clue what they're talking about. Wisdom says, obey them anyway. Now, not because they're the brightest, not because they even know more than you do, but because there's a God in heaven who created this order, and you just need to follow that. I know this is old school teaching, but you know, when we do weddings and things, there's these statements that are said in the vows that we make to each other. A promise to obey is what the women will say and submit. Unless you had a pastor that you convinced to take that out. I used to have women that would say sometimes, can we not put that in there? And I'm going, it's kind of what it says. It's a big deal. Now, there are times, and listen, I like to think that, you know, I'm a lot brighter than Tammy, but truth is, and my kids know that, when they have a question about life, they always ask her. She's like Google, you know, in our neck of the woods. And so if you have a question, you just ask, you don't have to Google, you just ask Tammy, and that's kind of the way it is. And so it makes it awkward sometimes when I'm trying to lead a family and she's actually smarter than I am about things. But the reality is there are going to be some times when I'm going to say something just, you know, I'm going to go, hey, here's what we're going to go. Not that we can't have a discussion, but listen, God's got that. God works in foolish men's lives who don't even know what they're doing to get you to a place where God would like you to be. And he does that with our bosses. And he does that with parents who are old and decrepit and don't know what they're talking about. He does it in all of those ways. He does it. This is what he says. God works in our lives through authority. Some of the greatest lessons I've ever learned is in dealing with just the bosses that I've had in life. And so Solomon's saying, listen, how are you going to thrive in this confusing, hard world? Well, don't make it so hard. If your boss or your authority says do something, go do it. It's not that hard. And so then he goes in and he says this. In the second point, do not be in a hurry to leave the king's presence. Now, he's not talking about, let me just get out of here. He's talking about quitting. Isn't it funny how we get in a job and all of a sudden we just think, this boss, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Listen, it's amazing how much people like to complain about their work or their spouse or their parents and all of those things. We have a tendency to want to just run away. Jackson will try that on occasion, not really physically run away. He'll make statements that say, I'm running away. I don't know if your kids do this, but Jackson every once in a while will go, hey, don't worry about it. I'm like, excuse me? I'm your dad. Don't worry about it sounds a lot like leave me alone. And then he'll like, you know, stick in his little iPod thing and begin to walk up the stairs. I don't know in what planet other kids live on, but that ain't happening in my house. I will snatch those little iPod things out of his ears like earrings. He'll be bleeding out of both of them, right? But the issue is, listen, I'm a hard man when it comes to that stuff, and I know there are times he's going, Dad, will you just lay off? I'm like this broken record. I'm going to wake up just all on him about life. Listen, the tendency is to want to turn people like me off and go, I ain't paying no attention. I'm done with this. Don't worry about it. Oh, I'm going to worry about it. But listen, here's his point. Don't be so quick to quit. Look, here's what happens. I'll go up and make my way to the bedroom, or I'll whistle, and he'll come back down, and he'll sit, and I'll go, look, I can see your posture. I'm glad he's not here today. Y'all don't tell him I said this stuff. But you know, I said, look, I can see your posture. I know right now you hate being here, but you just know I'm still big enough to whip your butt. And so you have to be here. But if you would just listen to me, there's nobody on this planet that loves you more. And I know you think I'm stupid, and I know you think I don't know what I'm talking about, but you please hear me. And we begin to have this dialogue. And all of a sudden you realize, and he's going, Dad, I appreciate that. And then I hear him parroting back. The greatest compliment you can pay a dad is to say the things he used to say to you to somebody else. And now I hear Jackson saying stuff to his friends and to other people, and I'm like, yeah. Now, that's not always good, and it's not always true, but my point is this. Sometimes we quit too soon before we work through the issues and see where God is actually doing some things in our lives. You're going to have authority in your life, and you're going to want to run from it. Solomon's going, listen, Don't do that. Don't be so quick to quit. Don't be so quick to run out of the presence. Why? Because haven't we been saying all along, it's through the hard things that God teaches us? And sometimes it's through the difficult boss or the parent or the husband or the government that we get so frustrated. But listen, don't run. Stay in there for the long haul. Make that commitment to stay there until you know God has released you, because there's some great stuff that's going to happen in that furnace. And then he goes on, he says this. Do not stand up for a bad cause, for he will do, the king will do whatever he pleases. Since a king's word is supreme, who can say to him, what are you thinking? I mean, what are you doing? You know what the point is? Isn't it funny how we don't get our way with the boss, so we go and tell everybody else, right? And we try to get, you know, a majority, so that then somehow we can get to the boss and go, see, we're all right, because there's more of us than there is of you. Listen, here's the reality. The boss can do what he wants. Don't undermine or try to overthrow him. That's a good word. That's a good word in your marriage. When you're struggling and you have a tendency to want to go find other people to convince your mate that you're right, stop it. Don't undermine. You know what I love about Tammy? What creates the safety for me is, and I believe it's true, and if it's different, you tell me, and then we'll have a different conversation. But I have never, ever had anybody tell me that she's had anything bad to say about me. Not that there's nothing bad to say, mind you. She's just that good of a woman, which is why I like to hang around with her. Because she has my back. Because she's not trying to undermine or overthrow me. Even when I ground kids for life and stuff, you know, she won't like, you sure about that? Now, she will say that, you know, later, but not in front of the kids. You understand what I'm saying? There's something powerful about that. And Solomon's simply saying, listen, when it comes to authority, do what they say. Don't be so quick to just run away from it, because God's teaching. And then don't try to undermine so that you can go back and go, see, I told you. This is what he's saying. Now, he goes on. And he says this, whoever obeys his commands will come to no harm, and the wise heart will know the proper time and procedure, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a person may be weighed down by misery. Listen, just because you're in a miserable situation, don't try to blow the thing up, he's saying. Don't try to just explode this thing. Look, do your duties. Wait for God to open doors. There's something powerful that happens when we just wait on God. So instead of trying to get everybody to rally against your boss, instead of trying to overthrow, instead of trying to do all of those things, he's simply saying, listen, just do your stuff and wait. Just trust me. God's like, I got this. If you'll just wait, I'm going to open some doors, but there's some things that you need to learn before I'm opening any door. I'm only speaking from experience, but that's been true of my life. And this is what he's saying. Then he goes on to say this. Indeed, how can people avoid what they don't know is going to happen? None of us can hold back our spirit. None of us can stop from dying, he's saying. None of us has the power to prevent the day of our death. There's no escaping that obligation, that dark battle. In the face of death, wickedness will certainly not rescue the wicked. You know what he's saying? No one knows the future. You don't know what's going to happen in this authoritative situation. Nobody knows the outcome, but he does know this. Wicked never rescues the wicked. Doing wrong will never save your life. And so he's saying here, listen, there's never a right time to do the wrong thing. This is his point. He's saying, listen, no one knows the future, and doing wrong isn't, quit trying to find the shortcuts. Quit doing the wrong thing. Just wait. Listen, there's great freedom in this. When I start thinking about what Solomon's saying is wisdom and how do we thrive in this difficult environment, it really does come back down to one thing. Would you just trust that God's in the game with you, and that whatever's going on, just instead of getting all bent out of shape, man, I can't tell you how many times I'd come home from different ministries and different things, and I'd be telling Tammy, these are the craziest people in the world. They are, you know, and you just, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it stirs up, you know, and you start trying to volunteer someplace, and you see what's going on, and you just get so, because I want to fix things. I'm a fixer. You know, something's broken, I want to fix it. That's who I am. It's kind of what I do. I got to fix it. And Solomon's like, look, you're going to go crazy trying to fix everything. Breathe. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't run away too fast. Don't start trying to overthrow the thing. Just keep plugging away, doing the right thing. Wait for God to open a door. Because in the proper time, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know. So you keep trying to make your future happen by what you think ought to be. And God's just saying, look, just keep stepping. Because I'm going to do some things, and you don't know what's going on, but I'm going to do some things. And quit trying to circumvent it by doing something stupid and wicked, because it never saves your life. That makes great sense to me. Then he moves to this. He's gone away from authority now to talk about injustice and unfairness and some of the difficulties that we see in life. And he jumps right into some hypocrisy in the church. Wisdom teaches us how to deal with unfairness. He says, I thought deeply about all that goes on here under the sun, where people have the power to hurt each other. He goes, I've seen just people have the ability to just destroy each other. He goes, it's incredible what goes on. But it's a reminder that we live in an upside-down world. We live in a world where that's what people want to do to each other. It's funny, as we're talking to these third graders, that's what we keep stressing. Creation was perfect. And we have this little flashcard we show, and there's a lion, and there's a rabbit, and they're laying down, and it's all cozy and everything. And then we show corruption. Sin brings, you know, chaos and disobedience. We flip the flashcard up, and now you've got the lion chasing the rabbit. And the kids never miss that. That lion's chasing the rabbit. Yeah, baby, it's dinner time. It wasn't before sin, but when sin happens, it makes us want to just crunch each other, just jump all over each other. And so the kids all immediately pick up on that little flashcard and see how this sin creates this chaos. Well, we're driving that truth home to them right here, this one. Listen, we have the power to hurt each other. That's sin. The sin is what creates this desire to really just step all over each other. And Solomon's going, listen, I've been observing this thing. And he goes, it's not going to make sense to you. And so he's going to tell us some thoughts on how to deal with it. And so let's go to verse 10. I have seen wicked people buried with honor. Yet they were the very ones who frequented the temple and now praised in the same city where they committed their crimes. He said, I've seen people who go to church their whole life. Bunch of hypocrites. They act like they're at this great funeral. And Solomon's going, and I know who they are. They're not what that church thinks they are. You're going to have messed up life. And this is what he's saying. It's meaningless, he says. Then he says this, when a crime is not punished quickly, people feel it's safe to do wrong. There's a lot that we could talk about in that whole deal there. We're going to stay away from some of the things now, and I just want to continue driving home this unfairness principle. Listen, you're going to sit in church with people, and everybody's going to go, oh, they're the greatest people in all the world. They're the greatest people in all the world. And you know, you think, man, I think I'm doing all right. And nobody even gives you honor. Nobody even recognizes you. It's not fair, man. I've been faithful my whole life, and still I'm like not, I don't feel like I'm getting the respect. And you know what? That stinks, doesn't it? And it's not always fair. And you're going to run through life. If there was something I try to drive into my kids' life, it was this. Life's not fair. Isn't that right, Abby? Life's not fair. They hated hearing that. I hate hearing that. But there's something powerful in the reality that life's not fair. If we trying to make life fair and just and right, we go crazy. Listen, I know this whole trial thing that's been taking place in our country has created some of the greatest tension that I have ever walked through in my life. And I'm not in any way trying to, I didn't watch the trial. I don't know anything about it. I don't have a right to comment. But I do know this. If we're expecting for justice to happen on this planet, we're going to set ourselves up for failure. I speak from personal experience. I have to pay a debt every month to society for some things that someone else did, and they got off, and I was left holding the bag. And I realize there's some things that are going on. And I just think, man, and there are days I wake up and I think, I should have said this at the courtroom, or I should have done that, or why didn't I do this, or why don't I go by and blow his house up? I'm kidding, sort of. No, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you wrestle with these things. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to be honest, but you do, and you go, you know what? You go crazy if you keep trying to make everything right. I'm not saying we don't fight for just causes. I'm just saying don't expect that fairness is ever going to be in our arena in this life, because it's filled with sin. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, avoid, and then he goes this, listen, and if we don't get justice, here's what we do. We tend to think, well, then I'm just going to, that's the way you want to play the game, I'll play the game. Isn't that how we tend to do it? And so then we start doing stupid things, so we think people got away with it, I'm going to get away with it. And Solomon's going, listen, avoid the temptation to do wrong, because everyone else is, because it never works. And then he says this, but even though a person sins 100 times and still lives a long time, I know that those who fear God will be better off. Let that sink in. We have a choice every day. Wake up. I can play by the rules of the world, or I can play by the rules that God's laid out. And he says, listen, if you want to thrive in this kind of chaotic world, don't play by their rules. Don't start doing wrong because everybody else is doing wrong. Don't start trying to fix wrongs by doing wrong. None of that ever works. He says, listen, here's what I've learned. If we just keep revering God, I've seen people who sin 100 times and they still live long, but he goes, and it makes no sense. And sometimes it even makes us mad, doesn't it? We want to see people get their just comeuppance, right? Isn't that how you say it? We just want that. You watch a movie and you get so mad when that doesn't happen. You see life and you get mad when that doesn't happen. And Solomon's going, listen, I know that's going on, but here's what I also know. I know that those who fear God are always better off, even though it may not look like it. And so here's what Solomon's saying to us. Listen, breathe. Quit living by the world's rules. Just live life. It's a lot better that way. And then he goes on to say this. The wicked will not prosper, for they do not fear God. Their days will never grow long like the evening shadows. Here's what he's saying. Wickedness doesn't really bring the good life. Not in the long run. It may bring it for a lot of their days. But do you realize these 70 to 80 to 90 years that we have on this planet are really that compared to eternity? And so really, isn't it silly how we spend all of our energies and all of our frustrations on something that's like not even 1/100 of 1% of our life? Because we think that this life is all there is. And Solomon's going, no, something far beyond that. And so he's simply saying, listen, wickedness doesn't really bring the good life in the long run. Can we just keep that in mind? Otherwise, we start thinking, man, looks like the bad are always winning. Well, then he says this. Not only does wisdom teach us how to deal with this unfairness in those areas, he goes this. And this is not all that's meaningless in our world. In life, good people are often treated as though they were wicked, and wicked people are often treated as though they're good. And this is stupid, he's going. This is just stupid. But it's true. You got a lot of good people who are being called wicked, and you got a lot of wicked people who are being called good. And that makes absolutely no sense. And if there's anything that frustrates me more than anything itself is to see that go on, and I have to be reminded of this one truth here. Hey, breathe, Randy. Life's stupid under the sun. Don't expect anybody to see the world the way God sees it. Remember, everybody sees stuff upside down. So night is day, day is night. Good is bad, bad is good. So that's why we expect that good people are going to be seen as wicked, and wicked are going to be seen as good. It's a part of the times in which we live. And he's going, look, don't get bent out of shape about that. And then he goes on to say this. Now he's going to tell us, how do we find joy then in authority and in this chaotic, unjust world that we live in? What goes on? He goes, I'm going to give you a few points. So here's what I recommend, he says. I recommend having a good time. Now see, aren't you glad they came to church? This is, if you didn't hear anything else, I know you woke up for this. So I recommend having fun, because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. They will That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. You know what he's saying? Don't go home all bent out of shape about the authority structure and how what a terrible, rotten day everything was and how your boss is an idiot or whatever's going on. Don't come home and start yelling at the TV because you're watching whatever channel it is that spins your style of politics and go crazy because the rest of the world can't get on board. Hey, let's don't talk about authority. Let's don't talk about politics. Let's just eat and enjoy life. That's great wisdom. You're not smiling near as much as you should be. He's given you some solid truth. Lay the other mess aside because you can't fix it anyway. And get back to the good stuff. So when you get into your home, let it be what it ought to be, a safe haven. Let it be a place where it doesn't matter if the whole world is going to hell in a handbasket, so to speak. And if everything is falling down around us, I'm going to get home, and I'm going to put on some okra, and I'm going to fry me some corn, which Tammy and I did this week, and we're going to sit down at a table, and we're going to eat some good food, and we're going to talk about some stuff, and we're going to enjoy some good music, and we're just going to enjoy life. Why? Because that's what God has given us the privilege of doing in this life. Really, only someone who has no wisdom would spend his days arguing about things he can't change anyway. Isn't that free? That's freedom for me. I don't know if you needed that. I need to hear this. Now, let's go on. Then he says this. Wisdom teaches us that there's no rest for those who focus on their burdens. Look what he says. In my search for wisdom and in my observation of people's burdens here on earth, I discovered that there is ceaseless activity day and night. Listen, if you want to focus, you can either go eat and drink and enjoy the privilege of your work and what's going on and celebrate that and go, woo, it's a good day. Or you can go crazy worrying about your burdens. And here's what he said I found. I found those people who focus on the burdens of life, they have no rest day or night. Now, if you like chaotic life like that, you want to be the drama queen in your or king in your world, and you want all that mess, then have at it. Start going off on burdens and post everything you can think about on Facebook and what you hate about everything and see if that gives you a better life. I'm telling you, Solomon's going, that's a stupid life. The best life is just to, come on, sit around a table. Enjoy the produce that God's given to you. Whether it's plenty or little, it doesn't really matter. Once you've put some stuff in your belly, you can't remember what it tastes like. You just know you're full. So whether you can eat like the rich or like the poor. For me, I think the poor eat better. Whichever way you like it, just pick it. Because he's going, listen, you focus on your burdens, it's never going to get you anywhere. And then he says this. And this is the last point. Wisdom teaches us no one has it all figured out. I realize that no one can discover everything God is doing under the sun. Not even the wisest people discover everything, no matter what they claim. Listen, we have a lot of self-proclaimed gurus in this world, people who are writing books like they have the answer to every problem that you have. They're a liar just like the rest of them. They're just selling books. The reality is no one has this whole thing figured out. I don't have it figured out. You don't have it figured out. And so what is he saying here? God does, though. I realize that no one can discover everything God is doing. Now, let's back up and then we're done. In your authority structure, let's say you've got the vilest authority structure or person on the planet. God is able to work through, with, and in that authority to accomplish everything he wants for your life. And the God that I serve, which should be the God that you serve, that the Bible defines, is a gracious, compassionate, loving God who wants good for you. And so listen, let's don't get bent out of shape. And in the chaos where things don't make sense and we go, that's not fair, God. Just remember, you don't have all the pieces to the puzzle. And while it may look chaotic to you, from his vantage point, it makes perfect sense. Nobody in my family does that needlepoint stuff, so I don't really know about all that, but I do know this. I do know that if you sit at the feet of somebody doing needlepoint and you look underneath that ring, it's a bunch of mess, isn't it? You go, what is grandma doing there? I mean, this is stupid. Just threads hanging everywhere. It's the goofiest thing I've ever seen on the planet. But if you could get up there to where her vantage point is, sit in her lap, you'd see that she's woven something that's really pretty. You know what I'm saying? God's just like that sometimes. God's weaving his deal. And sometimes we sit from our vantage point under the sun and we go, that's the dumbest thing I've ever, what are you thinking? I mean, there's chaos unless you get to his side. And then you see how every thread woven together perfectly created a masterpiece. I just tell you, that's what God's doing. I believe it with all my heart. Solomon verifies it. And so what do? Just breathe. God's got it. And that's the message. I'm glad you came. Let's pray together.